Well, in a moment, Rachel will be speaking to us, but John is going to bring our reading from James chapter 4.
James chapter 4, verses 4 to 10. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Good morning. Nice to see you all. Thanks for that little wave over there, Jenny. Lovely to be here. I wonder if you, how many of you who see this title sit there in intrepidation thinking, am I going to get you up out of your seats and doing some exercise this morning? Well, I'm not. You can rest easy. The relief over here. But there is that saying, isn't there? Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Do you know that? Is that a song or a poem? I'm not quite sure. It's a song. Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Well, I wonder whether at this time of year, whether you kind of think, oh my goodness, Christmas is lovely, but actually all those extra nice treats and the food and all the nice things that, as we were talking about, we prepare for. Actually, I wonder whether we're kind of thinking, oh my goodness, what is that going to do for the waistline over the next 3 or 4 weeks? But maybe my guess is for some of you, even if you're thinking that and thinking of those work do's or the Christmas meals or fellowship times together where we have lots of nice food, you might be at a point of just saying, do you know what, let's just write this year off. We'll start again in the new year and then all will be well. New year, new you, the detox, the new regime, the exercise. Is anyone in that category? There's a few. I wonder whether actually when we think sometimes of our physique, of our diet, of our waistlines, actually I wonder whether we apply sometimes the same kind of effort or anxiety or concern or worry to our spiritual sense of our physique and the way or the shape that we're in. And this morning we're going to have an opportunity really for each of us to think about actually what would it look like to be on a spiritual boot camp. That sense of bringing ourselves before God and allowing him to speak to us about the shape of our lives, our lifestyle, and ourselves. Not only that, but actually it's really struck me recently that time isn't endless, is it? That actually, you know, whilst we might say, oh, we'll wait to the new year and all will be well. I know certainly in our family, and many of you, we thank you for your prayers for Darren's dad, who's very ill at the moment. But actually, it just resonates, reminds me that time isn't of the essence. We don't have endless time. And yet, actually, it's time and time again, to bring ourselves to that sense of spiritual MOT, back to God, to actually ask him what he would like to do in our lives. And so this morning, we've each got an opportunity to do that. We've read those verses, and we'll be looking at that passage in James 4. Not the whole passage, but verses 4 to 10, as John just kindly read out for us. But the reality is that it comes out time and time again through that passage, through James, through the whole story of Advent, is that Jesus and God is so gracious, isn't he? So kind, so loving. And all that he wants us to do is to draw closer and closer to himself. Now, as I was reading some of these verses, you notice that actually the Bible is actually full of invitations, or rather reminders, for us to come back to God, to have that sense of MOT, to look at where we're at in our relationship with God. And in that sense, it strikes me that it's almost like keeping your life under review. And I know that this is something for me personally I've tried to do over the last 10, 15 years through retreats almost, to actually keep my life in check, not just practically in the busyness, but actually in terms of my relationship with God as well. There's a few verses, Ollie, if you wouldn't mind flicking on, that actually, not just in James, but remind us about that invitation or that reminder to draw close to God. So one in Lamentations, for example, which says, "Let us examine our ways and let us return to the Lord." So let's look closer at ourselves and come back to God. In Psalm 119, "I pondered the direction of my life and I turned to follow your laws." And then in James 4, which is what we're looking at this morning, in verse 8, it says this, "Come close to God and he will come close to you." There's this sense of actually we might have all good intentions, but actually sometimes this seems to relate to us that our lives sometimes stray off course. And actually there's an invitation to turn and to come back to God. Looking at the verses in James 4, as I read it and I reread it, it seemed to me to be an invitation again, or that reminder, to just do life in a godly way. Not saying that we're not, but actually to step up, to look at actually what is the shape of our life? What is the matter that's in our lives that actually could be reshaped or changed to do life in a more godly way than maybe we are at the moment? And chapter 4, the verses that we didn't see on the screen, but chapter 4 starts with this query from James, challenging the people, challenging the church as to why there's so much quarrel and jealousy and coveting amongst them. But we're focusing particularly this morning from verse 4 onwards. And the reason for that is personal to me, because the thing that struck me most was the beginning of James 4, chapter 4. And it says this, if we can flick it up, please, Ollie. In verse 4, this verse really struck out to me. And John read it very nicely and very gently. But actually, when I read it, it sounded like a resounding kind of more of a shout almost. And it says this, says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God?" And in my version, it does actually have an exclamation mark, which it didn't on the passage that we read. And as I read that, I thought, ooh, I don't know how you read that, but the way that I've written it there with the exclamation mark, it almost sounded quite black and white. This is quite a harsh statement almost of, "You adulterers, you know, don't you realize that being a friend to the world makes you an enemy of God?" And as I read that, I thought, well, I'm sure probably for most of us here, and certainly for myself, I wouldn't put myself in that category. One, I don't know how I'd take to somebody saying, "You adulteress," or "You adulterer," like that. But equally, if I was to put myself on one side of that, would I say that I was a friend of the world and an enemy of God? No, of course I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't say that I'm an enemy of God. And I'm sure that all of us sitting here would probably say exactly the same. So it took me into look deeper at this and think, okay, well, what was James actually trying to say then? Is he really trying to say it that starkly and say, well, you're one or the other? Or actually, were there some shades of grey in the middle here? And the conclusion I came to is that actually there are quite a lot of shades of grey if we really unpack it and actually look at what he really means. So the challenge that came to my mind was actually, so in looking at this verse, how do we examine then the aspects of our life? Not whether we're here or whether we're there, but actually this bit in the middle. If we do this spiritual boot camp, this spiritual MOT, and this morning we have a chance in just a few moments to do that, then actually what are those shades of grey? We wouldn't align ourselves as an enemy of God. We wouldn't necessarily say that we're just a friend of the world. But actually, so what might the shades of grey look like? Well, as I thought about it, a few things came to my mind. The challenges that maybe those grey areas in our lives might be. So, for example, you know, does it prick our conscience sometimes in that spiritual Holy Spirit prompting sense that actually sometimes, as James talks about, the tongue, the way that we use our language, the way that we speak, sometimes is not what ways in which God would have us speak. Do we use words that are cutting, unhelpful, kind, jealous, the things that he mentions in the earlier part of James? Are we coveting what other people have? Do you look at the new car, the new house extension, the new whatever it might be? Are we coveting in ways that maybe just creep in and but are actually relevant in our lives? Are we just going about our career to be wanting more and more, earning more and more? Because again, that is what the world does, isn't it? It's about achievement, it's about success, it's about keeping the money we have, maybe not being as generous as certainly Jesus shows in the Bible. Is it in the amount of alcohol that we drink? Is it in the swear words that we use? Is it in the rage that we exhibit in the car or at home? Is it in the jealousy? Those things that I've mentioned. You alone, between you and God, can know what are those shades of grey that are in your life, in the same way that I can have my Holy Spirit conscience pricked to know what they are for me. And much of this is hidden for us, isn't it? But what it does is those little things, probably unpicked a little bit, just draw us gradually that little bit further away from God. Because actually, had brought to God, they would draw us closer to him. Ollie, if you could flick up the next slide there. Going back to that phrase, it says, you adulteress. I picked out this picture because this to me is a sense of that reach, that longing of God. The reason that I think James talks about us being adulterers is not in this physical sense that we might liken it to, but actually if somebody is betraying somebody else, then actually they're going against the love, aren't they, that's instilled in that sense of, obviously we think about it in the context of marriage. But here what James is talking about is that actually God so loves us that actually if we venture away from him, not to the black and white abstract, but actually in these shades of grey, then actually this verse in verse 5 it is, where he says, or goes on to talk about us being adulterers after verse 4, but it talks about this sense of God's jealousy, that earnest heart call to be walking more closely with us. And so this picture resonated with me in the sense of actually what we see here in after verse 4 is that actually God's saying, you know, help, allow me to walk with you in that. Let me do life with you, albeit that actually I want you to draw you closer and closer to me. There's a sense of God longing jealously for that sense of the spirit that he's put in us. Because he knows, doesn't he? Of course God knows us. He knows the things that pang us, that prick our conscience, maybe if we think about this spiritual MOT. But I think what's really important to say is this sense of jealousy, even though I read that phrase as quite harsh, actually, when you look at what actually the verses say, it's not said with a spirit of condemnation. It's said out of an earnest sense of God's heart, his longing for us to be drawn closer to him. And it's important for us to grasp that this morning, that actually as we sense this journeying closer to God, wanting to hopefully all of us live more and more godly lives, it strikes me that in that there is no space for condemnation beyond what is appropriate. If there's stuff in our lives that actually the Holy Spirit reveals and says, you know what, that could actually be better, or that is not what I want for you, then of course we should have our consciences pricked and bring that to a place of asking God for forgiveness. But equally, this isn't James showing God's heart of condemnation, wanting us to pour woes and grief upon ourselves. It is actually just doing business with God so that he can draw us closer to himself. Verse 6, Ollie, if you could flick on a slide, says this. I love the fact that the Bible is full of challenge, but always full of the promise of how God is going to help us. And again, in my version, the New Living Translation of the Bible, it's got this word, but. So it talks about, you know, are you a friend of the world? Are you an enemy of God? And goes on to bring this challenge to us. But the verse in verse 6 says this, but as we explore that, he gives us even more grace to stand against these evil desires. God never condemns us, does he, and pushes us out alone. He always says, draw close to me. Let me reveal what it is that's in your lives. What are those little things that we can, those little nuggets that we can unpick together? But in the midst of that, he will always draw close and give forgiveness and love and blessing and change and bring that transformation on. As I was thinking about this as well, it's almost like that if you're a parent and you've got children, if you've got good friends and you see them making decisions for themselves that actually you just think, come on, you know, is that really the very best? Now, it might not always be, is it, that you intervene and change things for them, because we know from having children of our own, of having grandchildren of our own, of having friends, of course you can't make those decisions for them. But again, out of that place of loving a teenager, of loving an adult child, of loving a small child, of loving a friend, if you know and you see that they're making a decision that is just not for their best, surely everything in you is just, come on, come on. You know, is this really what you want? Is that really for your best? And it's in that I think actually this is what God does to us on a regular basis, not once a year, not once every 10 years, not once every 6 months, but actually for as many times as we want to go back to him, actually God will say, come on, let's work on this together. Because if you want to change, if you want to become more like me, actually let's do that together. And so this says actually God gives us that grace, that sense of knowing his character and being able to walk in it together. He urges us to go the right way. Not always easy, and in my life, I think so often this seems to me like we often come to a sense of a T-junction. That's certainly how I see it in my mind. I know I've been in positions two or three times that came to my mind, I was thinking about this, where I've really felt that honest sense of, actually, I can either go this way or that way. This verse talks about actually drawing close to God. One of those occasions for me was when many of you will recall about 10 years or so ago now when my mum had bowel cancer, and thank God she's 10 years in remission now. But at that point, that was a really vivid, horrendous, worst point of my life so far, where I remember tangibly thinking, this is a T-junction moment, that actually all my emotion, all the hurt, the anxiety, the pain over that, actually brought me to a T-junction of thinking, do you know what, God? Okay, I've really got to make a decision here. And for me, the decision was, I either go against God and say, why us, why her, why now, why me? And get really angry that this amazing woman of God, my mum, had contracted this awful disease that was going to take her on a 5-year journey, thank God, to recovery. But get really angry against God. Or, in my mind's eye, I very much felt actually the other side of the T-junction was, I just say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. You've got to help me. And that, for me, was a very vivid T-junction in my mind. And at that moment, in case you were wondering, I decided actually the pain was so great, I had no choice but to just say, okay, God, over to you. You've got to help me in this. And he certainly did. But again, the promise is there, isn't it? As it says here in verse 8 of James 4, it says, come close to God and he will draw close to you. There's the promise. And it goes on to talk about bringing our sins to God and dealing with them. But it says that your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And that links back again to James 4, doesn't it? Of actually, are you a friend of the world or are you a friend of God? Being a friend of the world surely isn't a bad thing in many ways, is it? Of course, there's so much in the world to enjoy, to love, to cherish, to thank God for all of his creation, for the people amongst us. But we know what he means here, don't we? We know that actually he means that being a friend of the world is actually saying no to God. And so we are in this middle ground. God calls us here to that T-junction of saying, are we willing, are we wanting to be constantly purifying our lives? In our work context, in our home life, in the way that we use our tongue, the words that we say, with our friends, with our husbands, with our wives, and those people around us. Do we actually want to be drawing closer and closer to him? Well, it strikes me, as the next slide says, that actually our whole of our lives is actually surely a journey towards wholeness. Is it not? That actually we're on that journey, aren't we, day by day, week by week, month by month. That if we are earnestly seeking God in the midst of all of that variety of our life, then actually it's a journey towards wholeness. And I know when I've spoken to people about that, I've said, you're never going to get there. We're never going to get there because it's only in heaven, isn't it, that we're made right with God. But actually, surely our earnest heart call needs to be, I want to get there bit by bit by bit and be transformed into the likeness and the character of God. Surely that is what God calls us to. And that doesn't take much from us. It doesn't take much time. It doesn't take much effort. It's simply even sitting here this morning whilst you're pushing a pushchair, while you're washing the dishes, while you're watching a film, eating popcorn, whatever. In our midst, God is there, isn't he? And can always be, little by little, if we're seeking him out at any of those points, be transforming us. But within that, the challenge again is there's an intentionality, isn't there? We have to be people who want to be intentional in our journey towards wholeness and become more like him. And to do that, my suggestion would be for each of us is that we bring ourselves regularly to that place of spiritual boot camp, spiritual MOT, whatever we want to call it. For many of you who are in employment and have jobs like me, you'll know that the annual appraisal, if you've got a boss, comes round all too quickly sometimes. Or maybe there are opportunities that you relish if you have a good boss who likes to, again, like God, invest and care and look at the holistic, bigger picture. But often what happens in a good appraisal, anyway, in my experience, is that actually in an appraisal you have the opportunity, don't you, to reflect back, to look at the present, to review what's working, what isn't working. Hopefully, a boss would bring some good encouragement, but then you look forward, don't you, and you set challenges, you set goals, you set objectives for the next 6 months, 12 months, or whatever. And I guess that's what we're saying this morning, actually, that this is an opportunity for that sense of self-appraisal, not in a strict sense, not in a sense of being at work, of course not, God doesn't interact with us like that, but actually a sense of just saying, how are we doing here? How are you doing? Are you forever drawing closer to me? Are you on that journey towards wholeness? Verse 9 talks about actually the opportunity for repentance. And I guess as we do that and we reflect on where we're at, there is that opportunity that we mentioned earlier of actually saying, do you know what, actually, that in my life just seems not good enough in the sense of it's not actually very Christ-like or Jesus-like, or that actually I could do better, or that the Holy Spirit pricks in my mind as being something that actually I've just fallen short of. And I can think of many things, or certainly even this morning if I sat here, two or three things where I just think Jesus would probably be saying, come on, you can do a bit better than that. And I'm sure you probably can as well. Verse 10 goes on, we saw it earlier, but verse 10 requires us to come to that point of just pressing pause for just a moment and finding it in ourselves. And verse 10 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord. And again, here's the promise, and he will lift you up in honour. And it also says at that point, as we read, if you do this, if you seek God, then the enemy will flee. And that's important for us to note as well, isn't it? You know, actually, if we're seeking God, we're journeying towards him, we're intentional in how we want to become more like him, the enemy will flee. It has no place because the Holy Spirit grows so much in us that actually it pushes the enemy further and further away. So as we draw all this together, I wonder how this boot camp looks for you. Do you see, as you're even hearing what I say, do you see it as actually, like we said at the beginning, you know, it's that thing, can do it in the new year, it's fine, I've actually got too much going on at the moment, it's a pipe dream, I haven't got time, or I don't need it, that's fine. But is it something that you think, well, maybe there is something to get into the discipline of doing here? We talked about exercise. Do you want to shed the flab? Often in our lives there are those things, aren't there, that actually we could just strip back, slim down, get rid of. And again, this morning, got an opportunity to, as we draw closer to Jesus, using that silly analogy, but actually is there stuff that you just think, actually I just want to strip it back. I've had enough of falling into this way of thinking or doing or speaking or whatever. And Jesus, again, that purifier in us can bring us to a point of stripping those things away. Just to remind you as well, again, those verses don't take us to a place of being overly self-condemning, but allowing God to just speak to us gently, patiently, lovingly, to give us his grace. So as we draw to a close on these words, we remembered this morning about Advent starting. And Ollie, if you could just flick the next picture up here. Sorry, if you go back one, thank you. Advent is all a time, isn't it, where we remember actually about Jesus come down. Almost that sense of reach, like that earlier picture showed us, that sense like this one of actually those nice woolly warm gloves, but that sense of actually God just saying, just come to me, let's just have a moment together, draw close, and how God just wants to tangibly draw us closer to him. We'll share communion together in just a moment as well. And that again reminds us, doesn't it, of just all that Jesus did. But again, that sense of saying, come to me, come and remember that amazing truth of Jesus' death and resurrection. Come to me, draw close, let's walk together, let's work together, let me share my promises with you. So we're going to have a time in just a moment to press pause, to reflect, to speak, think. You can do with that space and that time just for a few moments as you will, just before we go into some worship as well and then into communion. But I wonder whether, just as you do that, just think whether you can identify or pinpoint any particular roadblocks that you think are there, any pride, the things that you strive after or struggle with. And we pray, don't we, that actually Jesus will just help lead us on that journey into wholeness towards him, to become more like him. So we'll pause there. And can I just encourage you, maybe where you are, to just close your eyes. And we'll just have a time to think about that invitation that comes from James 4. That going back to that initial verse, are we a friend of the world or are we a friend of God? As we just pause with the stillness, we don't enter a time of an actual boot camp, but a spiritual one. And in that, I encourage you just to recognise yourself afresh, maybe in a new way. Allow yourself to be reminded of God's earnest heart call for you. Not just for the people sitting around you, not your children, your grandchildren, but for you. Because his call is that we would walk with him and continue to be transformed on that journey towards wholeness. Just allow those things to come maybe to your mind, the one or two or three things that you think actually you'd want to bring before God and ask him to help you do a bit of an MOT and to set yourself on the right course with him again, knowing his love and his grace. In the midst of that, just remember that there is no place for condemnation. But the verses in James say, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But the challenge is to us, when God does draw near, what is it that he longs to find in us, in me? As we examine those T-junctions as well, maybe bring anything to God that you're finding a real struggle at the moment, not quite knowing or having urges to go a certain way, but knowing that actually Jesus might equip you and call you to go another way. Bring those T-junctions to him, because as we do draw near to him, he equips us with strength and promises to us that he will give us all we need to live a purified life. And in that, if needed, accept his forgiveness and his grace. As the band start to come up, let's just pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that at this time of Advent, we can just well and truly be reminded the awesomeness of the story that showed that you, the God of the heavens and the universe, actually sent your Son so that you could draw even nearer to us here on earth. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit, that is still true today. And we pray that as we've looked at this opportunity for a spiritual boot camp today, in that sense of being able to just bring ourselves, our lifestyles, our choices, our words, our thoughts, our actions before you. Thank you, Lord, that all you long to do is to be walking with us, journeying with us, but transforming us more into your likeness. So, Lord, as we reflect, as Lord, as we sing, and as we come to this communion table in just a few moments, Lord, we thank you that in you there is no condemnation, but there is abundant grace and abundant love, because you jealously guard us, you protect us, you give us strength, you equip us, but you long to be with us every minute of every day. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.